And I would submit to us today, Chandler Church, although we know what the prophetic message says, what we know can and will happen if we don't follow God, God has not removed our power to choose today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So choose. And help other people to make the right choice. Can you say amen? Because in the past, Israel has not always made the right choice. You see, it wasn't too long after Abimelech started impressing his ideas upon Israel that shortly thereafter, Israel said, you know what? Abimelech's idea was so good, we don't even need a god anymore. God will let you be in the background, but we want you to give us a king. Huh? You know that from the Bible. That as the prophets spoke with the people replied back to the prophets, and they said to the prophets, listen, we want a king to judge us, 1 Samuel 8, 6, and 7. So Samuel, hearing this silliness that was coming from the church, he gets down on his knees and he prays to God. He says, God, we're starting to go the wrong direction. I need your help. I need to know what you want me to do. And you know what God says? God says, you got to give the people what they want. I won't take away their freedom to choose. I won't take away their power of decision. And if a king is what they want, God said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me. What would happen as a Chandler Church, as a North American division, as a global planet, that we, with one voice as a people, say, we want Jesus? And for those that God has commissioned to lead, we want Jesus in our leaders. I believe that God would pour out His Spirit upon us in a way that we've not seen before. But we have to use that voice. We have to use that choice. We have to use that power of freedom that God has granted us today. The Bible tells us as those people desired to have a king, this is what happens when they had a king, 1 Samuel 8, 7 and 10. Now listen to their voice, Samuel, except you shall surely go and protest. Let them know they're heading the wrong direction. Solemnly to them, show them the kind of king who will reign over them. Then Samuel told all the words of Jehovah to the people who asked a king of him. And this is what the people were going to get when they asked for a king. Verse 11. This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots to be his horsemen, and some will run before chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. Will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, some to make weapons of war and equipments for chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. The king will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage, give it to his officers. He will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, your donkeys, and put them to work. He will take a tenth of your sheep. He will cry out, they will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you. In 2016, I would submit to us today, church, that we can make our voice be heard. And we can determine as a church what type of leaders we will be, what type of leaders we will choose, and what type of leaders we will allow ourselves to follow. Can you say amen today? See, there's a great challenge in leadership that we face here in our world with our sinful nature. And it's the desire to dominate and ascend. Here in our world, here in our natures, we don't want to be given the remedial tasks that are tasks of servants and those that we consider to be lower on the system of caste that we set up. But my Bible tells me that Jesus Christ was so humble that he came down to this earth to serve as a servant, even unto the point of death. That's the type of God that we serve. And if our character or our leaders have a disposition or series of traits that are different from that, they are exalting themselves above the goodness of God. You see, this first started in heaven, and we know this as Adventists with Lucifer, the light bearer, who is the right-hand man of God. I think any one of us here within our friendly confines today would desire to have that position of being God's right-hand man. Can you say amen? If I can just make it into the kingdom, Elder Williams, if I can just be there, glory to God. But it wasn't good enough for Lucifer. I need his spot. I need his place. I need his control. I need to dominate and have all the power. I need leaders to follow me and my ideas. I want to have all authority in creation. And Isaiah, he saw this in inspiration. He says, "O Lucifer, what have you done? You've cut down to the ground. You've weakened the nations through your philosophies and ideas. Because you said in your heart, which has not been said before in all creation, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the angels of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." Friends of mine, the Spirit is not only for presidential candidates, but it is for pastors, it is for elders, and it is for church members. Amen. And when we see the Spirit of dominating authority among us, we must acknowledge it for what it is, that it is not of God and not of Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And in 2016, I would submit to all of you who have a voice and a choice, if we see in this election a candidate that has an I problem, a desire for dominance and control, a propensity to set up for themselves a kingdom, we need to exercise our voice and take action. Do you believe that today? You see, beloved, as we consider Lucifer's life and his lies, we understand that although he became a leader, because his followers did not exercise the voice and the choice that they had. Some may say, "Well, Pastor Shane, as Christians, shouldn't we be hands off from politics altogether? Didn't Ellen White tell us to avoid politics? She did say that we should avoid being intimately intertwined with the political system, but she did not say that we should eliminate our voice and our choice. In fact, when social issues arose in the day of Ellen White, such as temperance, that is, our nation and prohibition, outlawing alcohol, Ellen White was so strongly in favor of our nation outlawing alcohol. Someone came up to her one day and asked, "Sister White, in your prophetic understanding and gift, should we as American voters vote against prohibition or for the prohibition of alcohol?" And Ellen White said unequivocally, "Yes, yes, to a man." That means every single church member should stand up for the good and say, "We need not legalize alcohol here in America." And perhaps, she said, "I will shock some of you if I say, if necessary, go to the polling place on Sabbath." Don't get me. She said it, not Pastor Shane. That's... It meant that much to her. And we see today that prohibition in our world did not pass. And as someone who has worked those highways and byways in law enforcement and cleaned up many a dead body from a drunk driver, what would have happened had we as a church, to a man, to a woman, exercised our voice and our duty as responsible citizens of this republic to say, this is not in our best interests. Can you say amen today? See, I understand this, that when it comes to leaders and leadership, leaders here in our country where we have the right to be wrong, and even, I'd submit, all over the world, leaders only have as much power over us as we give them. Can you say amen today? As your pastor, I have only as much authority as you grant me. As your conference president, Elder Keyes only has as much authority as you grant him. In 2016, when you guys go, if you go, to the ballot boxes, our voice can or cannot be heard. and what happens in our country, what happens in prophecy, can, to a certain extent, be governed by how much power we give others over us. Do you believe that today? When we look back in history, all of the notorious dictators of history, they did not rise up in a vacuum. They did not have some supernatural ability that forced and controlled the minds of those around them. They were simply persuasive, and those around them were persuaded. Pol Pot in Cambodia, who had millions of people killed in a power grab. Joseph Stalin in Russia, who allowed his countrymen and KGB to torture or kill anyone who disagreed with him or his style of governance. Hitler in Germany, who blamed Germany's woes and problems all upon the Jews en route to killing 6 million of them and starting a world war while trying to conquer the world. All of them could have been stopped by the people around them lifting up their voice and saying, "We will not stand for this." No. No. And I submit today, although our greatest responsibility is to God as citizens of this nation, we have a responsibility that when we see silliness and foolishness taking place in our political process, that we can stand up and say, "No. No. We will not let it start and snowball. We will not let it happen." We can exercise our voice and our choice, because even the power that Lucifer had over one-third of the angels was given to Lucifer by those who listened to his concepts, his ideal, and bought into his character. And friends of mine, it does not say that he had the power and the ability to control their minds. It says that his tail, his backside, mind you, his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them here to earth. Let us, as the stars of that future kingdom that is to come, let us not be drawn into foolishness. Let us not be drawn into a system that will hurt, coerce, or damage people in this country, a country that should be and was designed to be one nation under God. A country that was designed to minister to its constituents as God ministers in the freedom of choice and decision to other people. We can choose to make a difference today. Do you believe that today, church? And we must choose today what type of leaders we will be, what type of leaders we will choose, and what type of leaders we will allow ourselves to follow. You know, one of the greatest General Conference presidents that our Adventist church ever had, his name was George Butler. And as George Butler, who was a contemporary of Ellen White, looked at the situation that was taking place in American politics in the late 19th century during his time, he said this. He says, "If we as Americans were living under an absolute monarchy, if there was a dictator at our helm, there would be nothing else that we could do but to pray and hope that God could deliver us. But in this great nation that we have, in this republic, we have an instrument given with which we can second our prayers. And that is our what, everyone? It's our ballot. Don't be afraid. If God has called you or impressed you that what you have seen or not seen is not of God in that electoral process, don't be hands off and say, "Well, prophecy says we're all going to..." No, no, no. We do our part, amen? We do our part, amen? Say, "I don't believe in that. I don't support that. I won't allow that." And let the rest fall into the hands of God, amen? See, I love this quote by Edmund Burke. He said, as it pertained to Lucifer, as it pertained to Stalin, as it pertained to Hitler, as it pertained to Pol Pot, he said, "The only thing necessary, Chandler Church, for the triumph of evil in our church, in our country, in our religious system, in our homes, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good women and good men to do what?"
Nothing.
We have the power that Christ has invested in us to do something. And so as Christ has called us to use and exercise our voice, our choice, So often as a church, we have failed to do that in the right way. And so when Abimelech presents in Judges chapter 9, the voice and the choice to the people. People, which would be better if together in our freedom and our diversity and our mutual understanding and our differing opinions and our experiences would come together and as a community of leaders move this nation forward? Or, if we had one guy kind of like me, you know what I mean, who was calling all the shots, who knew everything and was in control, who was the big baller, what do you think about that? And the people made the wrong choice. And a mass murder took place because they didn't decide what type of leaders they would choose, be, and follow. Abimelech was made king, and as Abimelech was made king, the oldest of Gideon's children, the baby, the youngest, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, now tries to get the church and the people back on track. And through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ speaking to and through him, he gives them a parable, helping them understand what we as people in a society are like. Listen to me, he says, you men of Shechem, that God may hear your voice again because you've gone so far wrong. And the trees, the people, they went forth to anoint a king, and they said to the olive tree, we want you to do what? What's that word, everybody? We want you to rule us. I don't know why we have a predisposition or bent towards being masochistic. But God does not rule us. He serves us and ministers to us in love. And as God ministers to us in love and patience and goodness, it's almost as if the scene we see in Revelation takes place day by day, that the crowns that he has given us, we take off and throw down at his feet because we say we're not worthy of this. You are so good, so faithful, so kind, so merciful, so patient. Lord, we submit ourselves to whatever you say. Was it God's will, beloved, that a king lead his people? Yes or no? Is it God's will in our churches that pastors become little kings in their corners of the neighborhood? Yes or no? Is it God's will for our political process that we have politicians that would present themselves in a dominant and authoritative way? Yes or no? No. So they ask the olive tree, reign over us. And note, the olive tree is smaller and lower than the normal trees. And the olive tree, understanding, as Nadia Cuff showed us today, its place, what God designed it for, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the olive tree said, should I cease giving my oil with which they honor God and men to go hold sway over the trees? That's not what God has called me to do or be. And we need to know, we need to talk, we need to dialogue with Jesus. Can you say amen today? You ask God, God, what is your calling for my life today? You submit yourself to that mission, that presence, that purpose. He'll let you know. Amen? If we believe in creation and we believe in intelligent design, God has a design for your life. He has a plan and a purpose, Jeff Lewis. Amen? And everything you've been through, everything you've gone through, everything you've endured, God is using that to funnel you towards something great. Can you say amen? And don't let the devil, with temptation of power and prestige, in your family, in your church, at your work, or anywhere in society, lure you out of what God has called you to be in all of your beauty and splendor. Can you say amen today? So the olive tree gets it. And the olive tree says, nope, can't do it. Sorry, can't help you. That's not what God wants. So then the trees, they say to the fig tree, which is an even lower tree than the olive tree, you come and reign over us. But the fig tree said the same thing. Should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit? This is what God has called me to do and be, that I may hold sway and rule over the tree. The fig tree knew, as we should know and see and discern, that his calling was not influenced by the promise of power and position. So then the trees said to the vine, which is even lower than the olive and the fig tree, vine, we want you to come and reign. But the vine said, should I cease producing grape juice, which cheers God and men to hold sway over the trees? The vine, which was not even a tree. Are you with me here? This is us. Jesus is holding up a mirror to us. You follow me? Not even a tree knew his calling was not influenced by power and position. In the whole search process, they ignored the cedars of Lebanon, the brilliant, big, bright trees that God had planted in that area, and they dropped the standard lower and lower and lower until they were willing to accept a non-tree as a candidate for leadership, a candidate with corrupted character and a controlling attitude, because they just said, we want someone to follow. God has given you someone. It's his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's no greater example of leadership, sacrifice, and service in our world that we will ever see. And so often, we want a face to follow. And this is why perhaps we struggle here in the New Testament church. Because at its inception, the church didn't have a face. They had the Pentecostal outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And as that Spirit moved in their midst, they could feel and hear and perceive him. Can you say amen today? Can you say amen today? See, Jesus said that there would come a time in the church where the church would worship him in spirit and truth. Too often, as Seventh-day Adventists, we've emphasized truth, 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 truth. Truth is, that in him we live and move. In him we have our being. And as the Spirit of God moves and directs us, the vicar of Christ on earth is not the office of the papacy. It's the Holy Spirit in our very midst. Do you believe that today? But too often we settle for a face. Controlling character with a controlling attitude. Until finally all the trees said to the lowest common denominator in society, they said to the weeds, you come and reign over us. I'm from Chicago, where Joe Marcano is from, where we love the Cubs. And at Cubs Stadium, Wrigley Field, they have the vine that covers over all the walls. Have you ever seen what vine does to other plants and weeds? When vine rules over them, it chokes them out to death and strangles them. But that's what the people want. People say, come to the weeds, to the bramble. You reign over us. And the bramble says, hey, here's the deal. I'll take you up on this. I'm going to be your ruler. And you can anoint me as king. And you can come and take shelter in my shade. Do weeds provide shade, folks? But if not, if you don't do what I say, if you don't follow me like I want, if you don't march in step with my every idea and concept, let fire come out of me and destroy all of you. You know what the people say? We'll take it. Fair enough. Good deal. We'll plug you in. All right. Amen. What type of leader will you be? What type of leader will you choose? Chandler Church, what type of leader will you allow yourself to follow? Can you say amen? What type of leader did the father of the prodigal son have to be in order to empower that son with resources that he didn't earn or deserve? And then, giving him his freedom to manage those resources as he chooses, let that son go. What type of strength does that take? And what type of God and Father do we have that as he leads us closer and closer to his Son, he grants us day by day the freedom to make choices away for what's best from us? I want to choose Jesus. Can you say amen? I want to decide yes for my God of grace and love and compassion. What type of leader is unveiled in the book of Revelation as Jesus is presented to us Jesus is contrasted with the beast of Revelation 13. And as we see this leader, he has seven eyes, which means he knows everything. And he has seven horns, which means he is all powerful. But as he is displayed, he is there suffering and dying for all of his people, while at the same time unveiling truth and love and mercy. Whereas the beast in Revelation, as he leads and draws others towards him, it says that the beast should speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes, or in the Greek, forces all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a what, everyone? A mark. He coerces, he pushes, he dominates, he bullies. That no man might buy or sell, save that he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. That doesn't have to go that way. I believe we can still choose. Do you believe that today? I believe that we can still change hearts and minds and lives. Do you believe that today? I believe that Jesus did that. And Jesus taught us that as he poured out his Spirit to his church, that it is better to have many leaders than one. That God never intended his church to be led by a pope, by one man who is controlling and dominating and showing authority. By us understanding that the one who determines our competency and our calling is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And when we realize what the Spirit says about our life, our mission, our calling, it's not about power, but it's about service. Service. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to what, everyone? To serve. God never intended that his people should be led by one authority, or that authority should be consolidated in a few. We know too often we have these family dynamics in our churches where little groups and pockets of the church are controlling the church. We know that, right? And we don't talk about it, right? And we're not doing what God has called us to do or be, right? The Holy Spirit determines our giftedness and calling, and friends of mine, the allure of being an elder or a pastor should never take precedence over this. Friends of mine, there is nothing glamorous about being a pastor. Can I tell you that today? My Lord, I don't know how many days on the internet, like, is UPS hiring? Jesus, please, just... When the sons of thunder said, Jesus, who is going to sit at your right hand in the kingdom? Jesus said, can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink with? Friends of mine, if we're doing leadership the right way, like Martin Luther King Jr., like Gandhi, like Abraham Lincoln, the higher up you go, the bigger the price you're going to pay if you're doing it the right way in a sinful world. You know that, right? So it is that we understand that our God, our leader, he paid for us the ultimate price. That when he came to this world, he came to show us what true leadership is like and its service. Can you say amen today? And lastly, he left us with understanding that true leadership is sacrifice. Can you say amen? Today, beloved, on this communion Sabbath, and today, in this Sabbath on a 2016 electoral year, today as we partake of these emblems and realize what the greatest leader who our world has ever seen desires to show us, I ask you to consider, as we have parsed through the parable of the trees, what type of leader will you be? In 2016, what type of leader will you choose? And as Christians who are disciples of the living God, what type of leader will you allow yourself to follow?